So, Tom, I thought we'd start with this, I guess, in the past 24 hours, this up and down, left and right, oops, we made a mistake by the CAC over not having provided any kind of English translation for those parents with children with special needs. So today we finally heard from Bernard Dranville. Now, the government, by the way, it took him about 2 days to get this right, but here's what he said.
A presentation in English to be had. It was a request for that, and it should have been accepted. So the rules were misunderstood. Let's put it this way. Okay. There was a misunderstanding of the rules. Now I am making sure that the rules are better understood. And therefore, it should be made clear that in the circumstances that occurred, there was a possibility to have a presentation and in English, and there should have been one.
Yeah, it takes him a long time to get that out. But yes, there should have been one. He's also saying that there will be one going forward. And then he added my favorite part. Listen to the end of this, Tom.
And I'm going to make sure that this confusion is cleared up.
That's right. Cleared up. And
yeah,
so we're all okay.
A little bit of upspeak. Yeah. He sounded like a very upset boss because, you know, Dranville's had his ups and downs. But on this one, it's clear to anybody listening that he's got his heart in the right place. And that little upspeak at the end was a way of saying, I'm going to go and kick some butt. So once he's finished kicking butt there, maybe somebody should convince Christian Dubé to go and kick some butt at the McGill University Health Center. Because not only do they believe that under Bill 96, they're not even allowed to speak in their general notes, it's a bilingual institution recognized since 1977 as officially bilingual, and that hasn't been taken away. They refuse English. Now, I am told, I've been on this all day, that all internal documents, you know, it doesn't matter what it has to do with. You know, it could have to do with things that are important for all staff to get right away. You know, disruption of services, updates, that sort of thing. Only in French, starting about 3-4 days ago, starting at the beginning of this week, only in French from now on at the McGill University Hospital Center. So it's very interesting the way the Minister of Education put that. He said, well, they misunderstood. You know, like there are people who are paid to interpret things and they're called lawyers. There is a big law department at the Education Ministry, very big one. But is there not one single person there capable of reading a statute? Or have they been told, and this is all gets done by word of mouth, and this goes back to the 1980s, when it was clear that the Office Québécois de la Langue Française, OLF at the time, was making stuff up. And we had to move in. I was at the Conseil de la Langue Française, and we were very, very much aware of what they were doing. And it became a big deal. People realized that it wasn't enough for them to have the law that they had. Any part that they thought should have been in the law that didn't quite make it, they're going to put it in. And you remember when they were debating the creation of this new health agency, and Christian Dubé went ballistic one night because the gnomes in his legal department and his political staff slipped him a piece of paper where he got caught right away. Phil Otier of the Gazette will always deserve credit for catching it. He was there. And of course, André Fortin, the liberal critic, caught it. It would have given the ability for the bureaucrats in Quebec City, just like that, to remove bilingual status. Well, they lost that battle, but it looks like they're literally creeping back, trying to get back the ability to remove the right to use English. Eric Maldoff has been warning people, yeah. He deserves credit too, has been warning people about this for 2 years. Eric Maldoff is one of the only people I know in the province of Quebec who has followed the details of this. And he's been talking to people in the hospital sector. He knows the hospital sector cold. And he's been saying, there are people who are telling you to do things that you don't have to do, and they're trying to restrict rights to English. You don't have to listen to them. Now, what was interesting today is we got a court decision on something very akin to this. Here in Quebec, we were being told that in the English school boards, constitutionally protected with their own right to control and manage, everything had to be in French. It looks like the same sort of attempt is being made at the McGill University Hospital Center, but instead of having a Joe Ortona, they have a Joe Carpet, who just likes getting walked on by the language bureaucrats and doesn't do anything about this. So bravo to Joe Ortona and the English boards who have won the stay, meaning they've held off the application of certain provisions of Bill 96 until we get this thing cleared up. They don't have to do everything in French. It was so nuts to say that you have a constitutional right to English boards, but, oh, by the way, everything has to be in French only.
Yeah.
And so whoever was pushing that has just gotten a slap and by the courts. And whoever's been pushing this stuff at the MUHC should be fired on the spot. because they're embarrassing a community institution and its leadership by giving them very bad and completely wrong advice. So I really wish we had a Bernard de Rainville in the person of Christian Dubé. Maybe our finance minister will wake up and say, oh, that's my job. Maybe I should pay attention to this and move in on it.
So we know from the case of Joe Ortona and the EMSB, and I asked how long this had been, of course, going on. He said most recently since November. Is there a chance, Tom, that someone within the MUHC would also ask for a stay as this affects them too?
I think this is going to require strong, concerted community action. And there should be an action by the people who are getting services there, showing up en masse at the next board meeting, very politely explaining that this is a bilingual institution recognized as such since 1977. Nobody's taken that away any more than they had taken away the right to talk to parents of special needs kids and give them an English briefing because their kids are legally in English school. And just say, enough with this nonsense. I don't know where they got this group of quislings who have come up with this ruling, but I think that enough is enough. And it's time for the community to start pushing back.
Okay. Let me move on from that and get to Paul St-Pierre Plamondon, the mystery that at least this week is Paul St-Pierre Plamondon. Reaction yesterday from Pablo Rodriguez. You have a federal minister here saying that his comments pose a threat to social cohesion. What do you make of all this?
It's the feds trying to get their little foot into the door on St-Pierre Plamondon and separatists. I think that Pablo Rodriguez is trying to show that they actually follow what's going on and the federal government isn't completely blind to the fact that there's some heated rhetoric and they should move in and try to calm things down. I don't think it was particularly well done, but I don't think it was inappropriate. I think that Rodriguez, as the Quebec lieutenant for Trudeau, is allowed to move in on these things and, you know, state the case, which is, really? You want to debate what happened in the 1830s? That's relevant. This is what you want to be deciding today. But Paul St-Pierre Plamondon, I mean, you should see the commentaries, not just on the English side, on the French side, people are saying, what the, like, where does this stuff come from? And you really want to be taken seriously as a modern Quebec politician, and you're just nattering on about this age-old stuff. So I think that the PSPP is really in need of a good summer holiday, and it couldn't come sooner enough.
Strategically, so from a political perspective, did he make a mistake? Has he made a serious mistake?
As far as he's concerned, he's done the exact right thing. He's doing what everybody else has refused to do. Everybody else has refused to dig in, say we're going to have a referendum.
Right.
Everybody would always tiptoe around it, say, well, our first mandate, we won't have a referendum. We want to solidify the support and blah. He's saying, no. We're going for a referendum because we've got all this hundreds of years of humiliation and the British Empire, don't you know? I mean, this is where we are. And the average Quebecer is going, I'm having trouble paying my groceries. Grow up.
Okay. That interview, by the way, that I did with him that aired early yesterday, we're going to replay after 5:30. And I think at one point in that interview, I asked him, Tom, because there's been, I think to most people, most observers, there's been a big difference or a big change between Paul St-Pierre Plamondon a week or 2 weeks ago and starting with the weekend at their convention. He doesn't seem to think so, though, which I find interesting.
Then he needs reality therapy. I mean, somebody needs to play him the film of his speech on Sunday. I mean, he's always had his main political asset has been his cheeriness, his upbeat attitude, his optimism. And that's what has been, you know, getting a lot of people who would never in a million years vote yes in a referendum in Jean Talon. A lot of them voted for this guy just because of that, you know, and they wanted to kick François Legault in the nether regions. And now he's just throwing that all away. He's only talking to his hardcore whack job base, and great. As somebody who wants to keep Canada together, I'm sort of going, okay, this is great. You know, the guy who really thought he had a chance of having a third referendum is going to start to realize that he's been drinking his own bathwater, and it's not going to happen.
I want to ask you one last thing to do with none of this. We talked to David Coletto from Abacus Data yesterday, right? And one of the questions, and I think this is a poll they're just about to release, asked Canadians, as well as saying, who would you vote for? We found out the Liberals, of course, now trailed by even more. It's the biggest lead the Conservatives have ever had.
Yeah.
And one of the scenarios was, who would you rather, A, go to a party or have host a party, so Justin Trudeau or Pierre Poilievre, who would you rather put out a kitchen fire, Justin Trudeau or Pierre Poilievre? Or thirdly, who would you rather sit with on a long transatlantic flight? Who would you rather sit next to, Pierre Poilievre or Justin Trudeau?
Right.
Tom, who would you rather sit next to?
On a long transatlantic flight?
Yeah.
Trudeau.
Okay. Do you want to tell us why?
Easy peasy. Well, because I know Poilievre, and I worked with him for 10 years. I mean, it's the playbook doesn't change. The sentences don't change. It's always that steamy, in-your-face thing. And I don't think it would be very fun to sit with him for 7 hours.
So you're in with Justin Trudeau?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's better to put out a kitchen fire?
Poilievre.
Who's better to host a party?
Poilievre.
What?
Yeah.
No, host a party. Host a party.
Hey, he'd be very good.
Really?
Yeah. He's young, funny, energetic.
Okay. I had a caller suggest Trudeau would be better. Plus, he probably know how to make most of the drinks. So I thought that was a really good answer. Tom, thank you.